This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What is up? What's going on? Good Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Everybody had a great weekend. It's me, Rob. But you probably knew that if you listened to our show. Big Sue, quiet. Yeah, he's not here.
Yeah, I turned on the two cam because I thought it was going to be you and me, and it's you in an empty chair on the YouTube, so I gotta fix that, so it's me.
Yeah, he's gone. He's out. He has docked the yacht, as they say, for Christmas. So, yeah, we're kind of getting into that holiday mode here for you guys, which means you never know what you're going to get when you turn on the fan. So I'm here today, but you knew that. I'm here tomorrow, and then I'm out of here, too. And then I don't even know what's happening. I think it's Buck and Will.
Take that L on the way out.
Is that what the show is?
Yeah, it'll be me and Ortner on Wednesday and Thursday. And then we have a very brief 90-minute show, essentially a college football playoff pregame show on Friday. That'll be me and Luke.
Oh, yeah, we have playoff games Friday.
Friday. They start at 4:30.
Is the first one the Notre Dame game?
I believe that's correct. I will double check, but I think that's the case, yes.
And we have them all here on The Fan?
Yeah, in fact, I think there's... God, I think we got exciting. Pilots over on 910, which is why we
even
are being...
Even more exciting!
Yeah, well, obviously.
So, well, yeah. You had a thought there. You were saying, which is why something... I interrupted you.
Oh, no, just... No, that's... I mean, the Pilots being on 910 is why we have the playoff on 1080.
Playoff? Oh, because normally it would be on...
I think 9-10. It would be on 910, because I don't believe those games are simultaneous, right? The playoff games?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I haven't even thought that far ahead yet.
Of course not. You're not going to be here.
I know. Well, I was just kind of thinking. In my head, as I keep lamenting on our show, in my head, the college football playoff doesn't start for a while, but I guess we are upon it.
Playoffs?
Right? We had the
week of the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. We had the weekend with Army-Navy and Heisman, and now we're ready to roll. So, yeah, it starts Friday. So there are games Friday and Saturday, but I know there are NFL games Saturday.
Saturday is a crazy day. Saturday is like there's five massive games. I think you get like a – there's like a Steelers-Ravens matchup. There's like two really good NFL games.
I think the Chiefs game is on Saturday.
I think that's right.
And they may not have Mahomes, though. Who are they playing? Texans.
Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's Chargers Broncos.
If there's one thing you guys already know in the first 3 minutes of the show, we're all over this.
All over it.
Yeah, I think it's Chiefs Texans. And then college football playoff. I want to say maybe Ohio State. The other three games?
Let me start confirming these things for you.
Our Saturday. Man, it's kind of like, it's go time.
It's go time.
Let's go. So anyway, today you got Buck and I, and then tomorrow you got Buck and I, and then after that you got Buck and Will for a couple days, and then you got a little bowl preview show, and then next week, Lord knows what happens, because Christmas falls on a Wednesday, which means nobody will work all week. So I don't know what's going on there. I'll be back Friday of next week, and then Sook's back that following Monday, and then we're ready to party.
So confirmation, Texans at Chiefs, 10 a.m. on Saturday. Steelers at Ravens, 1:30 on Saturday.
Sweet.
And then you have the college football playoff games that are on Saturday, that are on Saturday. That'll start at 9 a.m. with SMU at Penn State.
Awesome.
1 p.m., Clemson at Texas, and then the nightcap, 5 p.m., yes. Tennessee at Ohio State.
Yes. So then Friday is Notre Dame, Indiana.
Correct.
At 5.
That's correct. Yep.
Here on The Fan.
Here on The Fan.
Man, that's great. And then Sunday's NFL, and we're back at it. This is great. I love this time of year. It's a good betting time of year, too.
Oh, yeah.
In football. Sports. I've been betting some college hoops.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
How's that going?
All right. Yeah, pretty good. I mean, you know, I love college hoops. College hoops is getting better.
In what ways?
Well, I feel like...
The game's getting better?
Yeah, I think the product's a little better because I just don't think you have as many super young guys. Like with transfers now, I think most teams have veteran players. And when you have veteran players, typically you have better basketball. Even if the...
Sure.
You know, even if the freshmen like Duke or Rutgers or whatever, they're super talented. I'm not saying they're bad, and just, you know... A little more seasoned basketball. And I think with transfers now, popping all over, like these guys, it's much like college football. These guys play at Northern Illinois for 3 years, seasoning, get some starts, and then they go transfer to, I don't know, Kansas or Purdue or whatever, and it makes those teams that much better. So I think the top of college basketball, like, you know, the games that matter, ranked game, they've been really good. I don't know if you watched Gonzaga.
They have been pretty competitive. I didn't watch that one. I know it was a good one. I watched a lot over the kind of Thanksgiving holiday with all those tournaments going on. And the top matchups, you're right, have been good.
Yeah. So anyway, good time of year, fun time of year. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're having a nice little holiday so far. I feel like Christmas has snuck up on us because it is next week, and I don't know where you guys are on your Christmas shopping. But I've still got more to do. We just aren't doing a whole hell of a lot in our family anymore in terms of Christmas gifts, which I feel like this is a trend, perhaps. I don't know if this is true in your house. Now, see, you have little kids.
Yeah. So we actually did something different on my dad's side of the family with my brother and my two sisters. Rather than everybody try to get everybody presents, because we have like now there's significant others. So there's like 8 of us total plus the parents. We all agreed to do a big secret Santa. So you just get one person to shop for and one person shops for you.
You know, somebody was telling me there's an app or something or a website you can go to that does all that for you. Like you register all your family members. And then you pick one randomly, and then you get paired up with the person you have to buy the gift for, and then it shows on there kind of what they want or what...
You know. So we go one step short of that. There's an app called Giftful where you can just list things that you want. It's basically like a personal gift registry.
Okay.
And so when we do the Secret Santa, everyone sends their Giftful link in, so I actually know who the person I draw, like some things they might want.
Okay. Yeah. And then will you just buy them whatever they want?
Potentially, or I'll see, like... that they had such and such on their list, and I'm going to, like, pivot and do something like it, but, you know, different or unique or whatever.
I'm a little old school. You know, my wife got mad at me the other day. She called me judgmental, which...
I mean, you are.
I mean, that wouldn't be the first time. But she said, or we were talking about gift cards, and I forget who she was talking about. She's like, should I get a gift card for this person or that person or whatever? And I'm like, well, I told her I don't, and I think we've talked about this before, I don't subscribe to the idea of gift cards at the holidays for anyone. I think it's a weak gift.
It does.
I said,
yep, I'm with you here.
I think it's a cop-out. Like you, in other
you
words,
took the words right out of my mouth. It does feel so. There are some people I agree it's harder to shop for. That's on you to figure out a better gift then. Like I,
so we're on the same page.
I just will not get my wife gift cards, even though
no way.
I know that there's certain places she wants to shop with someone else's money. Like that's, I would rather get her something, and then if she doesn't like it, she can return. But it, like, it shows the thought. Now she has like a niece and nephew who are like 13, and she can never keep up with their interests. And like, they always ask specific. They ask for gift cards, so she gets it for them. But like, if you get another adult, or if you're an adult getting for, yeah, I mean, I think in general you should be picking out gifts.
Well, yeah, exactly. She called me judgy for this, but I think she's just
doesn't mean there's not value to gift cards. I Some people actually want them.
I think she's wearing the guilt of knowing I'm right.
Is she a, does it make her feel bad because she may be a gift card gifter? Does
oh, she gift them? She's a gift card gifter.
So you've made her feel bad about that choice?
I think so, yeah. Okay. That's where that went. And that's not, you know, I'm just giving my opinion. I don't want anybody to feel bad. We don't have to take things personally, but I think she might have. I never give her gift cards. I don't give gift cards. Now, gift cards, you know, like they can work if you're like wanting to thank somebody like a bartender, or you want to thank a, you know, you somebody at work, a coworker.
My wife something. Made little gift bags for the teachers at our daycare that included a little Starbucks
yeah.
gift card
See,
in there.
That's perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Teacher, whatever. Like just here a little I'm thinking about you have this. But I feel like we've somewhere along the way. I feel like we may have lost sight of a lot of things about Christmas. One, Christmas is really for the kids. Okay?
Yeah.
It really is. Like, you're in the throes of Christmas. Because
and it's
you've
the
got,
freaking best.
Yeah, you love it. There's two little kids.
They love it.
They love it.
They love the decorations.
The tree,
they love the songs. They love everything.
They come running to that tree in the morning. And Santa and the whole idea. And then somewhere along the way, of course, we had to buy gifts. We felt like we had to buy gifts for everybody in the family. It's kind of nice. So like, if it's just you and the, let's say it's just you and your wife and the two kids on Christmas morning, of course you're buying something for your wife, right? And vice versa. But then you start adding extended family because they're visiting, and then everybody's buying gifts for everybody. And I feel like at some point, maybe because everything seems so damn expensive right now, we're all spending money right and left. It's like, hey, let's tone it down a little bit. Let's keep it to the kids. We always buy gifts for the kids. The kids love it. Christmas is about the kids. But then when you're talking about adults, you know, I think that if you think enough of a person to buy them a gift, you should buy them A, not something that they want, and B, not a gift card. I think you if they are worthy of a gift from you, you think they're, you know, you respect them enough, you want to get them a gift. You should know them well enough to find something that they may like. Now, they're not always going to like it.
But it
the
even
thought
if
that
they
counts,
don't, it's better that you've tried.
That's
that,
right.
That you have said, I made this decision because I thought you would
yes,
like it.
Yes, and isn't that the fun of Christmas shopping? Like,
and maybe you get it wrong. And if there's a gift receiver who doesn't like it and is mad at you about that, then that sucks, and shame on that person. Because that'll happen. There are some people out there who's like, this isn't what I wanted. Why did you get me this?
Yeah, and that's weak.
That's really
and
weak
then
because
I will
the
never,
other person tried.
I will never buy you another gift at that point. I mean, come on. It's the thought that counts is a good saying. That's really what it is. But then on top of that, if you really know that person, you may have found something that like, oh, this is really a thoughtful gift. Thank you. And I'll put that to good use. And that's Christmas. But you do that for maybe, your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your lover, whatever. And then maybe your parents or your brother. And that's it. Right. So that's where I'm at. And the gift card thing, I just think it's a cop out. I don't think we should do it. For the people that you know.
Unless
well.
It's requested, it feels like there's inevitably less thought put in.
Can I say, I don't think we should really kids request gifts. We get the kids some things that they want, right? Like, because it's the whole idea of Santa. He's listening to you, you've been a good kid, okay, you want that, here that is for you. Okay, right? Not adults, like adults.
Oh no, not adults. No gift cards for adults.
I'm saying like asking for something, like oh, you should get me this. Well, then why don't I just like I don't know. I mean, I hear some people that are like, oh, well, I just buy whatever I want and then I wrap it up for myself and put it under the tree and then my.
That's
wife's
just, that's super lame,
right?
I don't ever want to buy
that's
a gift for myself.
That's what. We always buy our
the things that we buy for ourselves are gifts to ourselves. I don't need that on Christmas. Someone else is supposed to do that.
Guys don't want. We really don't. most of us really don't want gifts. What we want is we want the money to stay in the account. Okay, that's the best Christmas gift you can give us. But we play along, mainly for the kids. But like I said, somewhere along the line, we lost sight of who we buy gifts for and why and what we should do about that. And so we're reeling it back in. And another thing is, I just don't think that you should have a Christmas list as an adult. You're an adult. Most of us just go buy the things we need. And then if we don't, it's incumbent upon the spouse to pay attention. You know what I'm saying?
I do, except for I am still of the age that my parents want to know things to get for me, my wife, and my kids. And so having a page with a list, it's helpful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm texting all those links and ideas or emailing them to a bunch of different parties and then, you know.
But again, when you're starting to ask, what can I get for someone? Maybe just nothing. Because you can't think of anything. Because you don't know them well enough to
think of
something that they could
but
use.
That's where I won't go that far, because if the person wants to give something, but they're not sure what to, not giving anything at all is not better.
Well, I think it is if you all agree upon it. If you're just like, look.
If everyone's decided, but if I want to get you something, but I'm just not sure what, it's better for me to give you a $20 bill than to give you nothing.
Yeah, see, I don't want a $20 bill.
I know you don't want it, but if I don't get you anything, I have declared you unimportant completely. Not only can I not think of what to get you, you're an afterthought.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of you at all.
I totally disagree with that. Well, so now you're basically saying you're disrespecting me because you gave me a lame gift.
You'd rather not get the gift.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm less disrespected by not getting a gift.
Do you have anyone in your life who, like, they're in your family circle, but you don't know them especially well that you would want to get them a gift, but you're not sure what to get them? Or does that type of person not exist in your
world? Non-existent.
Okay.
Yeah. Non-existent.
Okay.
And I get it. Everybody has different
families. I think there are people who have people in their circles that are like, this person means a lot to me. I don't know what to get them. And in that case, what are they supposed to do? Not get them anything?
I say try harder.
Well.
That's my little...
I agree that's solution one.
That's my Christmas rant for the day.
Okay.
Try harder. Come up with something. And you know, here's the other thing too. There are fallback gifts. Booze is one of them. Great gift. Always good. As long as you know what the person likes or what the person drinks, or if the person drinks. If they don't drink, that's obviously, you don't want to get them booze. But you know what I mean? Like a bottle of booze is great. But
a bottle of booze is the same as a gift card, because it's like, I didn't know what else to get you. So here's some booze.
I kind of disagree.
If there's a specific type, if you know the person likes bourbon, I give you a little more grace there, but it's pretty darn close to, I didn't know what to get you, and I assume you like to drink, so here.
Well, it's not an assumption. You got to know they like to drink, and you got to know what they like
Most
to drink,
like
and
to
then
drink.
You get them some. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
I'm not saying you can go wrong. I'm just saying that can be considered a cop out type gift.
It could be, but in my world where I'm king,
it's not. The greatest.
It's not. It's just not. All right. Well, enough griping about Christmas.
Get them, Schultzy.
Yeah, Schultzy. Hope everyone is ready for some hot sports talk, because we have a lot of it. And I mean a lot of it. Poll question starts us next on The Fan. Yeah, we're definitely in holiday mode here. We're already arguing over gift buying. And Suka's out. And I'm almost out. And so let's party. You know what I'm saying? Big weekend. Well, it wasn't really, but I enjoyed it. There was a lot of good stuff.
It was a weekend?
Yeah.
There was stuff.
I got to tell you, the propaganda that aired on The Fan on Friday from noon to 3 regarding the Army-Navy game really roped me in.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a great show that Danny and Dusty did.
It was really cool.
They were down there in D.C. USAA invited them out, and they had a lot of really good guests on, and it kind of got me jazzed for Army-Navy. Now, I'm not going to lie. Cannot lie. I did bet on the game this year.
Did you bet the over?
I did not.
I bet the over, but I also bet on Army, so pushed it.
Ah. See, I took Navy.
There you go.
And I'll tell you why in a second. But...
because no one ever wins that game by double digits?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's part of it. Yeah, part of it is they know each other so well. Why is the spread 7? It's the same team. But Army had a big year. And so I think a lot of people were going to bet on Army, but the main reason I bet on them is a different reason, which I think is something we should talk about going into a bull betting season. And it played out in that game. But I don't know. They got me roped into Army Navy. I don't always watch Army Navy, but of course we all know how cool the game is. And typically it's the only thing on before the Heisman ceremonies, you know. So it's got its own stage and the whole thing. But I was really into it because of Danny and Dusty, I gotta say, this year. Down there broadcasting, really cool, their show on Friday. And so then I sat down and I watched Army Navy, and that is part of our poll question today. So here's what we're asking you on X at 1080 The Fan. We're asking you, what was the coolest sports moment this past weekend? Was it Navy beating Army? Was it Travis Hunter? Was it Bills Lions track meet or Oregon's portal wins? Vote and vote hard on X at 1080 The Fan. Now, wrapping up Friday's poll, this is fascinating. We asked you, what's holding you back from thinking the Ducks win at all? 37% of you, excuse me, said nothing, but then 27% of you said everything. 19% said defense, and 17% said Georgia. I think that's interesting. I think there's a lot of Duck fans, as we discussed Friday with Joey Harrington, who just are waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, something's going to go wrong. It can't be this easy. But this thing's teed up for you. I was looking at the other side of the bracket. I mean, you got to bet right now. Who do you, if Oregon plays in the final in Atlanta, who do you think they play? Because Georgia doesn't have Carson Beck, right?
That's correct.
So you'd have Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and your or Penn State or Notre Dame. Those are the three most likely.
I kind of think that Penn State or Notre Dame comes out of that
you
bracket.
You think so?
Yeah, I think one of those two teams comes out.
You could possibly be playing SMU, Indiana, or Boise, but less likely.
I don't think SMU will make that run. Boise has fewer games to play because they have the bye, maybe, but I'm still inclined to think that the best teams with a quarterback on that side are Penn State and Notre Dame.
Could we get Oregon, Penn State?
We could.
Do?
We could.
Big Ten championship and then national championship? That'd be kind of cool. The way that game played out, I'd kind of like to see it play again.
Yeah. Penn State had some news today.
I think they did. Yeah. Aller said he's staying.
Well, and the one that really caused a stir was the backup saying he's going.
Yeah.
But that's more of an indictment.
That's because Aller's staying.
Well, and also, it's an indictment on the calendar that we've talked about with Lanning and other people that he wanted to play through the playoff, but the transfer portal, you have to have your name in by the 28th or something like that.
He has to go.
And so he's got to do it.
Yeah.
And that stinks.
But he wouldn't play anyway.
No. Well, I mean, he took a couple snaps in the game against the Ducks. He will come in to give them like a second look. He's a more mobile guy. And he's been there all year. If something happened to Aller, if his helmet gets knocked off for a play, like, don't you want that kid to at least be able to be around?
I guess that's true. Like, you want to see it through. You're going to the playoff.
I think, and there are kids on multiple teams that are in the playoff that are also in the transfer portal, and I bet most of them would like to stick around but feel like their hand is being forced.
Yeah. No, I get that. Bo Prabula?
I think Prabula.
Prabula is his name? So he's hitting the portal. But yeah, I have a feeling it might be Notre Dame coming out of that.
I think it could be.
It might just be Notre Dame. Or, I mean, Georgia.
Or it's Cignetti in Indiana.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Probably not, but I think they could give Notre Dame a game.
Yeah, I don't see that either.
Really?
Well,
Cignetti with all that time to prepare.
I think that game goes the way of Ohio State, Indiana, in that Indiana really hasn't played anyone.
Yeah.
And when they play teams like Ohio State and Notre Dame with that kind of talent, in the end, like, look, Ohio State, I don't know if you watched Indiana, Ohio State.
I did watch a lot of that game.
Dude, the first half, Ohio State absolutely tried to do everything wrong, and they still ended up winning.
And see, I watched that first half thinking, some time to prepare, this Indiana team's pretty good. They can hang with them. I didn't think they could hang with them all game.
They had one drive.
Yeah,
and Ohio State kept screwing up and screwing up and screwing up, and in the end, they ended up winning by like 18, I think it was 35-17 or something. And I think that's the way this one goes. Although I think Notre Dame's better coached and might win bigger. I mean, I don't know. And it's in South Bend. I don't see it with Indiana. I just don't think.
Notre Dame's better coached than Coach of the Year Indiana?
No, than Ohio State.
Oh, Ohio State. Sorry.
Yeah. So I think Indiana, while good and really well coached, and I like their quarterback. I mean, but when they play teams with the talent level of Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Yeah, different story maybe.
Different story. It's a bit like the Army-Navy thing when they kept, when, you know, they're having a great year, and then they go play Notre Dame, and Notre Dame kicks the crap out of them. It's a bit like that on a smaller scale, because I just think Notre Dame has much better players, and in the end, that's a double-digit win, and it's in South Bend. And then it's Boise, you know, what, Notre Dame would play Georgia, right, without Carson Beck? I mean, I don't know.
You start to like the way the matchups look.
I do. Because that side of the bracket's weird. Now the
The two teams that have buys, one's basically a mid-major, and the other doesn't have their starting quarterback. So
I know it.
The teams that are coming out of those bottom two games, I like what they've got to deal with.
Yeah, and then in the Oregon side, you've got the Ducks, the hottest team, Arizona State. You still have Ohio State and Texas in that side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be tough to get through. At any rate, there
it's
are a lot
tough
of,
anywhere, though.
A lot of fans who believe that... Well, they're just worried about everything. They're worried about anything tripping up the Ducks. But to be fair, the winner of the poll question was nothing is holding you back from thinking the Ducks win it all. 37% said that. So this is their year, man. It's teed up for them.
I sure hope so.
Let's see if they can go get it for you Duckies. And by the way, the portal wins this weekend, if you haven't been following, Ducks got two DBs out of the portal.
From their own conference.
Yeah, they got Northwestern kid and a Purdue kid,
mm-hmm.
which you might look at that and go,
But the Purdue kid's numbers are really good.
Well, they're saying he's like first-round draft pick type.
Yeah, good. I mean, he's got like back-to-back years with 70-plus tackles. And I mean, he's one of the best players, if not the best player on that defense, I think. And I don't know as much about the corner, but...
Yeah, his name is Dylan...
Thyneman
from Purdue. And then the Northwestern kid is Theron Johnson. I don't know. Apparently big gets for Oregon over the weekend because they are reloading. They lose a lot of guys. So what was the coolest sports moment this past weekend? I'm going to go with Travis Hunter, and we will talk about this later. But every year, I always poop on the Heisman Trophy, just the award in general. I think it's kind of jumped the shark. Always goes to the quarterback of one of the better teams or the best team, you know. I mean, it's been... I think that was the only non-quarterback to win in the last decade. Am I right about that? No, Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there you go.
There's one. But
and I feel like there's been a running back in the last 10 years. Like, didn't Derrick Henry win it?
I don't know that Derrick Henry was within the last 10 years.
Was it not?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, you might be right.
We're getting old, fella.
I know.
But, you know, I do... Look, the Heisman Trophy itself, it doesn't really mean much. It's just...
It's symbolic.
Yeah, but I what I'm trying to get at is I really love the ceremony. I do. I think it's a cool deal, and I think it's a really cool... I always really want to see the speech of the kid who wins. I just think
that's always the best
part.
It's
a big moment. Yeah.
It's a huge moment. A lot of tears, a lot of really genuine, authentic emotion.
Very authentic. Yeah. And all those big studs that have won the Heisman are back there standing behind you, watching you.
And like, I think that usually gives the speaker up there like the confidence and the gumption to like really lay it all out there because they got the support of their new brothers. Yeah. It's a very cool thing.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So that, I always love it. And I fell into the trap again this year where I sit around for 45 minutes waiting for them to announce the damn award, and then you get 15 minutes of
I don't even bother anymore.
TV.
I wait till I get the alert notification on my phone, and then I go to Twitter and I find the speech. I mean, I knew Travis Hunter was going to win. All the odds said that was going to be the case. No surprises there. Yeah. Wait to see the speech.
Well, it starts at 5, and then they just, I don't know, there's all this preview stuff and interviews and all this stuff. They didn't announce the winner until about 5:50, and then they went off the air at about 6:15. So from all you really need to see is from about 5:50 to 6:10.
Yeah,
and that part I think every year is really riveting, and we will do a segment on that, but it's going to have to be later. Let's revisit Army Navy coming up next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, just look it up. We were talking about the Heisman. Always a quarterback. So Devontae Smith won in 2020, COVID year. And You have it's 10 years ago, actually, where Derrick Henry won. That's the only other guy that's not a quarterback. Okay. So you'd have, so Hunter, obviously not a quarterback this year, but you had Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Bryce Young, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. There's Derrick Henry, but then you go Mariota, Winston, Manziel, Robert Griffin, Cam Newton, and then there's Mark Ingram. So since 2009, 15 years, three non-quarterbacks.
Yep, that's about right.
Four non-quarterbacks. So I thought it was a cool year for the Heisman because you have legit guys, neither quarterbacks, right at the top. I mean, Ashton Jeanty versus Travis Hunter is a great debate.
Yeah, we'll and the fact that the top two were both going to break the quarterback mold if either one of them won was cool.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, a very special kind of Heisman year, mm-hmm. right?
Unique, for sure.
Where it didn't follow that pattern of, oh, just the top.
And I think there were different
quarterbacks on the best team.
I think there were different really strong arguments for all of the candidates. I mean, Jeanty might be just the best pure football player in the country, but hard to know because of some of the teams he played against. Hunter does everything, but didn't help lead his team to as much success as the other candidates. And then Gabriel and Ward were pretty stellar all season long, but maybe weren't as outstanding as those top two guys.
So I wonder if Gabriel would have won if it were last year. And I know he was good last year, too, but let's say he's at Oregon, undefeated, wins the Big Ten, has the same season this year.
I mean, honestly, if Oregon had not blown that pat, not blown, if they hadn't lost in convincing fashion to UW in the Pac-12, Bo Nix wins that Heisman. Jaden Daniels got that in the 11th hour.
Yeah, you're right.
Bo Nix was the favorite to win it at going into championship weekend, and Bo Nix lost the Heisman in the championship game.
So Gabriel probably wins it last year.
I think probably.
But this year, he wasn't. I mean, it was a two-man. I think it was a two-man race. And we'll get into that later. I think it's an interesting debate. You're right. I think Jeanty is probably the more important player because if you took Hunter and put him on Boise State, I don't think Boise State's in the playoff. Jeanty, I think, is one of the main reasons Boise State is in the playoff.
And maybe even done a little bit better. What if you take those guys off their teams? What happens? Colorado still may be a similar product if you take Travis Hunter off the team. They've got other receivers. Their defense got better in general. You take Jeanty off Boise, they're nothing.
I don't know about nothing, but
I guess you'd have to look at his backup, but he was so much of what they do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I think he's the main reason why they're in the playoff, and he's more important of the two. But when you go two-way like that and you do it, do them both at a high level, it's a bit like the Shohei thing. It's so unique. It's so special. You kind of got to give it to him. So I have no problem with Travis Hunter winning. At any rate, we have a segment on that later. So one of the reasons that I took Navy, and it wasn't really even a close game, Navy-Army. Now, Navy hadn't beaten him in a couple years. Army was the better team, you know, over the course of this season. Army was really good. But one of the biggest advantages in football late in the season, to me, is when you've got one team who's sitting there practicing, rejuvenating, waiting, watching for an opponent who is playing another huge game. So the wear and tear of the other team playing an enormous all-in game while you rest and prep for that team with an extra week or more favored Navy big time. I mean, Army's game, while Navy waited, was their biggest of the year. It was for the conference title. They had to go play Tulane at West Point.
Yep.
Like the biggest game in years there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Army-Navy game is enormous, but that was for the league championship, and it was a huge emotional night, and Army won it. They kicked Tulane's ass. So it's a huge moment for them. It required all their focus. They aren't even thinking Navy until 6 days before the game. Meanwhile, Navy's been thinking about Army and preparing for them for 2 weeks, and they haven't beaten them in a couple of tries. So I think it's different than the plain old regular season bye because these games are so big. They're the biggest of these team seasons, and they are usually against top-notch opponents that require all of your attention. I mean, Oregon gets 24 days to wait for Tennessee or Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
24! But those teams have to put all their focus into that first game, or they're not getting anywhere. So they're not... Ohio State and Tennessee aren't even thinking about Oregon. Meanwhile, Oregon has so much time to prepare for both of them. So I think that's a huge disadvantage in college. Not all games are created equal, so the bigger games which is usually two or three in a season for a team,
mm-hmm.
or they're just emotional and they're draining. So that's why I think Army-Navy wasn't as great of a game. Army, you know, and here's another one for Army. You know, they go in and play Tulane at home, huge game, championship. Then they got to come back for Army-Navy. They clearly, it was like, you know, I know we all want to say they're ready for the big Army-Navy game, but they've beaten them a couple years in a row.
They're just three in a row, I think.
Yeah, coming off a high of beating Tulane, winning the championship. And they're like, now we got this game. And it showed. I mean, they kind of got whooped. They really didn't do much.
Yeah, and there was actually, I don't know that it would affect the players or even the coaches, but as that they were getting ready to have that game, there was already talk about their bowl game being canceled because Marshall doesn't have enough players to field it.
Yes.
And so, I mean, as the players, you're like, is this our last game? Is this not our last game? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that would factor at all, but that was another thing going on.
Well, there's another one that's like, now you're expecting Army to saddle back up and play freaking Louisiana Tech for nothing in 3 weeks or whenever the game is. Again, I don't know what the spread is on that game because Louisiana Tech is replacing Marshall. Marshall was in the bowl game, but the portal ripped away 25 of their kids or something.
Yeah, 29 is the last count I saw.
And their coach. So they're like, yeah, we're not playing. So Louisiana Tech jumps in and Army's supposed to go get excited for that. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing's just messy. But I feel like the way it worked out for Army this year going to the conference title really hurt him against Navy. At any rate, great game. Oh, well, not a great game, but a great pageantry at that game. It's a very special event.
America's game.
Every year. Yeah, it's awesome. It really is. And it had another football hold your breath moment. I don't know about you. Did you watch Army-Navy at all? Did you
get to see any of it? I watched most of it, but we were also doing kid stuff, so it wasn't like I was able to sit down and watch it, but I had it on all morning or all afternoon.
I love hold your breath moments in football. One of them is when a kick is on the way. Like I'm a big believer that because hasn't it always been suggested by some that we should eliminate the kicking game? Like we don't.
Oh sure, yeah. I mean the most unsafe plays in football are kick returns, both punt and kickoff. You know, running into each other full speed from 45 yards apart.
But
not
I mean
a good idea.
I mean field goals. Like am I in the minority that I think field goals are awesome?
Yes, they're not. I mean, they are a potentially interesting part of the game, but no one likes it more than regular football.
Well, I didn't say that. I just think that you said potentially interesting part of the game. I think field goals are an interesting part of the
game. Especially in college where nobody's automatic.
Now, I think the extra point, especially in college where it's a chip shot.
Yeah.
You know, that one, you know.
I want to see him go to the 1, 2, or 3 model. Where they basically let you try a 1-pointer from the 1, mm-hmm. a 2-pointer from, like, say, the 4, and then, like, a 3-pointer from the 7.
Yeah.
And make the team choose every single time after the TD.
Well, going for 2 is exciting, too.
Yes.
But I just mean, when a kick is on the way, particularly a game-winning kick, or a kick that has to go in for you to win, or mm-hmm. if it doesn't, you lose. I mean, that's exciting. That's a hold-your-breath moment in football.
Yeah.
Another one is when a big fella, a lineman,
is
rumbling with the football.
I saw that.
Did you see that fake?
Yes, I did.
Navy runs a fake.
And it was ballsy. They were on their own 30 or something like that, or 40. Yeah. They were in their own territory.
Were they?
They were in their own territory.
Okay.
And because he ran like 60 yards.
Yeah, direct snap to the
nose guard.
To the fatty.
Nose tackle does it.
And he rumbles all the way down. But my God, is there anybody that isn't thinking he's going to fumble the ball?
Right. Oh, everyone's thinking.
When
that.
A fat guy has the ball,
yep.
they cannot hold on to it.
Well, and we saw it in NFL Sunday then because.
Was it the Lions guy?
The Titans, and maybe it happened to the Lions, I didn't see that, but the Titans defensive tackle just ripped it out of Joe Burrow's arms, and then he stiff-armed one dude, and he like thought he was all that, and the next dude comes and boom, knocks it out, and thankfully for him, it went out of bounds, so it didn't end up costing him, but, I mean, right on cue, big guy fumbles.
Yeah, the big fella, greasy mitts. On the big fellas.
Well, they're not used to, I mean.
I know.
They're not used to carrying the ball. You would think they would be strong enough to just hold on to it, but they don't know how to.
Well, then they used to, Oregon did this for Birch, right? They ran the fake with Birch?
A really similar play, honestly.
Yeah.
They snapped it to the up man, and he ran right through that gap there. It was, design-wise, almost identical to the one the Ducks ran with Birch.
Yeah, coaches are starting to give these big fellas, and they're good athletes, they're starting to give them moments, goal line or in fakes.
You don't want to have that nose tackle making a lot of decisions, but if he's going in a straight line and he's got a head of steam, who's getting in front of that?
Yeah, that's right. I see why they do it. But at the same time, ball security with those guys.
Yeah.
Like, I think that used to be you just teach those guys, dude, fall down. Like, we do not want you carrying the ball. You will get
as soon as someone's within arm's distance, just go down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know about you, but we maybe have talked about this before, but I am amazed in football, particularly the NFL, how good these guys are now about getting the ball out. I'm amazed at how often running backs and receivers hold on to the ball.
Yeah, it does. For as much as there is an emphasis, it doesn't feel like there's been a huge spike in that
fumbles.
Fumbling.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, can you imagine how much you would fumble?
Yes, a lot.
We're such good athletes, Ryan, but they wouldn't put us out there because we just couldn't hold on to the ball. At any rate, the Army-Navy game had a little bit of everything. It was fun.
It was fun.
I don't know what you think of Gary Danielson, but...
He did a couple Ducks games this year and wasn't great, but
he's an acquired taste.
Perhaps. Well, and also he's got a wheelhouse, right? I mean, there you can line softballs up for him, and he does great. You get him a little out of his depths, and maybe a different story. But Army Navy game, he's great.
All right, up next, NFL Week 15 ball buster on the Fan. We do wish you a Merry Christmas. That's Weezer. Suits out. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. Holiday time here on the show. Well, holiday time all around, really. Let's get into some NFL before we have Stockwatch 415. The Sam Howell experiment began last night. And
yikes. Mr. Yeah. Chicken Nuggy not looking so good.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Remember, he's the guy who has only ever eaten chicken, never had beef, never had seafood?
Oh, that's right.
We talked about that in the second when they first signed him, that... He like brings his own chicken nuggets to the facilities because he won't eat anything else.
He eats like a child.
Yeah.
Are you surprised? I I'm almost 50, believe it or not. And I think this is probably maybe over the last 10 years, 15 years, I've noticed how many adult men eat like children. Have you noticed there are more than we think?
There are more than we think. I feel like we encounter them not very frequently, but there are a lot of them.
I think there's a lot.
Yeah.
Way more than maybe we know.
I think that's right.
That's my take on that. You know what I mean? Like, eat like a child. Like, they just don't have a palate, per se. Mm-hmm. They just kind of...
I think that's accurate.
They want to revisit 10th grade?
It's like...
8th grade?
They just heat up some of the kids' tots and ketchup, and they're like, cool.
Yeah, and they're good with that.
Yeah. I'll just have some tots for dinner.
We have a couple of them here at the station.
Yeah. It's true.
I won't name any names.
I'm being very careful, at least I'm trying to be very careful, about not falling into, not the trap, of the habit of, oh, well, I just made my kids some food.
Yeah.
I don't need to make myself a full meal. I'll just like eat what's left over. And then suddenly like my lunch or my diet is like three nuggies and a couple of noodles and you know, something else.
Yeah. That's
and, like
probably,
the rest of their banana or something.
I'm guessing that is not that easy.
It's not.
To avoid.
I mean, especially if you're putting that stuff together, like who wants to put together two lunches or whatever?
Yeah, I'll just have these nuggies and mac and cheese. I'll just have what's left over.
Fine. Like, or you tell yourself I'm going to figure it out later and then you don't.
Well, anyway, Sam Howell, I have to eat crow here because
yeah, you were hyped.
I called
best backup in the game.
Well, I didn't say that. What I said was, I bet you the Seahawks go to Sam Howell by week 6 or something.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not a huge Geno Smith fan.
Sure,
but look, I mean, come on, it's pretty obvious. Geno Smith is light years better than Sam Howell. I just don't think the Seahawks are going to get where they need to go with Geno Smith. And I like Geno Smith. Geno Smith's had a good year. He's, I think Suk and I have had the argument over the verbiage to use, but I think he is good. But they're not winning a Super Bowl with him.
Agreed.
It's much like Tampa Bay. I think Baker Mayfield is good. They're not winning a Super Bowl.
Those guys have, their teams have ceilings based on their abilities.
That's right. Minnesota is another one. We're going to see them tonight. I think we get two Monday night games tonight.
Yep. And that's Minnesota is a team where it starts to get interesting for me because I don't think of Sam Darnold as a championship quarterback, but I do think of Kevin O'Connell as a championship coach and a championship schemer and play caller. And they got a lot of other weapons. So I don't think it's impossible for a coach like O'Connell to maybe overcome a quarterback that you wouldn't just think could go and win that game. But that's where the challenge lies.
And a big challenge. And what I would say is, I'm not going to argue with you about O'Connell, but what I would say is at some point when you get into the playoffs and you are playing the best of the best, Sam Darnold is going to hurt you.
Eventually, you're going to run into a matchup where
Sam Darnold
you are severely deficient at quarterback.
Yeah, and it's going to show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that of Geno Smith, which is why I'm like, okay, well, this is fine, but I don't know. It's one thing if your team is looking to the future. Like, Minnesota already drafted their next quarterback, right? They drafted the kid McCarthy.
Right.
Now, he ended up getting hurt. But Darnold is just a bridge to that. Cousins is that way in Atlanta, a bridge to Penix. But why have the Seahawks not brought in the young guy yet? You know, why have they not drafted? Like, are they really going with Geno Smith? And I get it's not a long-term deal.
Yeah.
But, like, what are you doing at quarterback? It's one thing to have him while you're building for the next, hopefully the next franchise guy. But it's another to just have Sam Howell back. You know, like,
well, and the other thing too is the quarterback position. Like, there are guys that show up who weren't supposed to be there and they get an opportunity and they turn out to be great. Look at Brock Purdy. Like, they're, Suk has said it before, teams should draft a quarterback every single year, even if it's late. Yeah. Like, you should just have a guy, and you know what, if you get to the end of the year and that guy sucked, well, he was only a sixth or seventh round pick.
I
so what
that.
Then do it again next year.
I agree with that. It's almost like they're too discerning over who,
your need will become greater
is.
At some point in time, but at the point in time you get to where you need a first round pick, your franchise is in shambles. So start drafting guys in the third, fourth, fifth round, see if one pans out, and then you might have to either go acquire one, but you don't want to get to the point where you're so bad you can draft one that's that good.
Yeah. I subscribe to that newsletter, my friend.
Thanks.
I'm signing up for that. Send that my way, as long as it doesn't cost anything.
That takes free. Free 99.
Free in my email. I love that. But I don't know. But seeing Sam Howell, what a disaster. And now the Seahawks lose that game. And you got to give the Packers a lot of credit. That wasn't all about Geno going down.
No, Packers look great.
They look great. It was a tough spot for Seattle. They've had a few of those this year. But now they have to play the Vikings. And, you know, Suk's been saying this the whole time, it may just come down to that last game against the Rams, whether or not they get in the playoffs. Because last week they were in playoff position. Had they beaten Green Bay, they would remain in playoff position.
Mm-hmm.
But Tampa Bay won in L.A. against the Chargers.
Yep.
And now Tampa Bay is in better playoff position. And because you lost, you are out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to win that division. And it's going to probably come down to that Rams game. So maybe, you know, maybe the Vikings game isn't that important. But that's a tough one. They lose to the Vikings. They're 8-8. And it's all about the last game to get into the playoffs. So that was what I'm saying is, like, if they had won last night, could have changed everything about their playoff hopes.
Oh, yeah.
This year. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, Geno gets hurt. Green Bay looked good. And then Sam Howell's a disaster. I did think that Sam Howell would be better than Geno Smith.
Yeah, I
got to wear that. I got to own that.
I think I sent you the stat, but, like, he had, like, one of the worst throwing performances in the last 15 years of, like, any quarterback ever or something like that.
Well, we all watched. It was bad.
Yeah.
I will say, though, didn't he look kind of good at some stage in Washington when he was there?
Yes, I believe he did.
Yeah, kind of good.
He looked serviceable. He did not look like the disaster he looked like last night.
Well, anyway, let's get to more Week 15 action. Patrick Mahomes is hurt. And, boy, who the hell's stopping Buffalo? Coming up next on The Fan.